In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you who believe and is spoken to you by the Lord who Jesus. Does anybody remember three theological virtues? Remember, there's three theological virtues that are given. Not talking about the natural virtues, like the cardinal virtues would be of prudence, of fortitude, of temperance, all those sorts of ones of, which one am I looking at? That's an important one. So those are the cardinal virtues. But do you know what those three logical virtues? What's a theological virtue, real quick? It's a virtue that God gives us, that human beings can practice, that doesn't have the goal of living a better life for them, that is to wreck them. A theological virtue has the goal of holding on to possessing God Himself. So only a Christian can have that theological virtue. And so, do you know what those theological virtues are? I wanted to give you, I gave a long introduction so that I didn't have to think about it. Faith, hope, and charity. Joan gets three father virtues points for that. So faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. Let's talk about faith. Because faith is an important virtue for us to have at the time. What did you say in that gospel passage? Did you hear what it was there? It was all about that meeting that the Blessed Virgin Mary has with St. Elizabeth. What happened right before? You remember the angel Gabriel come up to Mary when she was in prayer and said, "Hey, you who are full of grace, hail, you're amazing. You are full of grace. God is on your side with you. Will you accept God's proposal that you would be his mother?" When Mary said yes, the incarnation happened in that moment. That was real Christian. The moment she said yes, that's when Christ took on flesh. Then the angel Gabriel said, "Here's how you'll know that God is more powerful than anything in the world to do to them. You didn't know this. But your cousin, Elizabeth, remember that old lady? She's super old, and they make fun of her behind her back because she never had any children. And so she's sorry, even though she was living a holy, devout life. God never liberated children, but guess what? Even though she's a really old lady, God made her conceive. And she's already 6 months pregnant, and you don't know that. And this is so that you would know that nothing will be impossible for God. That even a woman in her old age, wow. How old would Elizabeth? She was as old as some of you are. So think about that. One with your age having a baby? How does that work? How do you even survive that? Right? About modern medicine and things like that? Now, there's no fear or fear. Nothing is impossible for God. And so, what did Mary do immediately after she heard that? Did she go, "Wow, I'm going to be the mother of God. Let's have a party. Hey, everybody, I'm super awesome. An angel just came and talked to me and said, I'm full of grace." Did you say that? What was the first thing she did? What did she do immediately when the angel Gabriel went back up to God and the Father in heaven? What she did. It says that she took off, that she went running, not throughout the streets of town, saying, "Look at me, I'm amazing." She made haste and said, "Hey, St. Joseph, we're spoused, we're almost married. I gotta go visit my cousin. She's pregnant, and she needs help. She's an old lady. I gotta help her through this." Mary's just a little, what, 12, 14, 15-year-old girl. She's carrying the baby Jesus right here. And her first thought is, "Let's help the old lady, help my cousin. She's going to be struggling." And so it's just, she took off right away. She said, "All right, let's do this." drops it off, takes her up there, makes sure she's safe. And then she leaves her, like, because that tends to put her in the house, you know, take care of the natural stuff. And so this is what happened here. And before Mary could even get any word out of her mouth to greet Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" How does she know that? That she's the mother of Elizabeth, the mother of God. Elizabeth already knows this. Elizabeth was a super holy woman. She was so beautifully consumed with the Spirit of God. You guys can be like that too, you know? So beautifully consumed with the love of God, that you know things that nobody else can know. That's what the Spirit calls the word of knowledge that we get. That has to work in your spirit. If you worship and all, you pray, you can develop that relationship with God, that intimacy in your heart. This age can be an age where you go through your life. Incredible things. We just know what's going on, and you can speak encouragement to somebody who's struggling with the moment like that. And with hardship, if you pray, turn to God, give yourself generously, and you can be like a little bit in that way too. What?
Good
day. Yeah. Can you help
with that?
I can't do this, yeah. Okay. I don't know how to do it either. You want me to speak louder?
Can you do it?
Yeah, I'll also move it here. Is that all right? I'm gonna speak some right here. That's all right. So Elizabeth is there saying this to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that blessed is you who believe what the Lord has spoken to you. You believe. And so Elizabeth is saying, wow, you are the mother of the Lord. But you know what the best part about you is? Is that when God speaks, you believe it. When God says something, you don't say, "Well, I don't know. I got to check this out. That's not what I heard before. So maybe I'll do it now." But the Blessed Virgin Mary, the first moment that she hears God say he's going to do it, she says, "All right, nothing is impossible for God. I know that. Let's act on it immediately." That's the great grace. Faith is something which moves up God. What is faith? Faith, what it speaks about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it is the evidence of things not yet." Faith says, "I'm going to see it someday, but I don't see it now." And because God said it, I believe it. And I'm going to act on it right here in the moment, even though I don't get it. How many of you thought that Mary, Virgin Mary, understood how it is that the Holy Spirit can overshadow her and create in her body another human person without the aid of a man? How do you think she knew that? She knew how it was going to happen. She knew how biology comes together and DNA and all those other things. How many? Nobody does, right? Nobody believes that she did that. That she understood exactly what happened. Mary didn't know how that happened. Mary's smart. She's a good person. She knows basic biology. She knows certainly that only human beings come into being when a man and a woman come together in a beautiful marital embrace. She knows that. She doesn't know how God is. All she knows is that God is going to do it, that he said he was going to do it. And she said, "Okay, you're going to do it, even though I'm going to remain a virgin? What can I say? I'm the handmaiden of the Lord, do it." I have to figure everything out. What about this? How many of you believe that in a few moments you are going to receive Jesus? His body, his blood, his soul, and his blood. You believe? You believe that Jesus is going to come and visit you, Lord?
Yes.
You got that? You believe that too, Mary? That God is going to come to you in the blessed sacrament in just a moment?
No, really,
in the Holy Eucharist. you and I can be like Mary. In that moment when the host is put in front of you and you hear the priest say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold who takes away the sins of the world, blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." And you say, "Si creo." You say, "I believe." And that's what that amen, what you say within your heart is. You don't have to say it out loud because you're going to receive on the tongue. But you say it in your heart and say, "Yes. Yes, I believe. Yes, I want you. Yes, come and live in my heart. Come and be in me." And when you do that, you become just like Mary. And then Mary's words, rather, Elizabeth's words to be said about these things. Blessed are you, believe. But the Lord has said to you, "Be fulfilled, will happen." And here's a test. Don't worry, I won't answer you. You don't have to answer if you don't know. But let's pick on the seminary. It's fun to pick on seminary, right? They're just little rounds, right? Little whipping people. Make fun. That's why God gave us seminary. So what is the promise that Jesus makes about the people? That those who need his Christ, that those who drink his blood, which we have in Holy Communion, what is the promise that Jesus says in John chapter 6, bread of life discourse, that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then what will happen?
Eternal life.
Oh, are you right here? You can't beat Rita. Rita's fast. You will have eternal life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have my life within me. And what's that next thing that he says right there? Not only will have my life in me, but one other promise. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have my life within him. And see, the seminary doesn't go. That's how we send them in. He's still learning. Still learning. Don't be disappointed. He's just in his first couple months. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have my life within him, and I will raise up on the last day. There we go. Intellect. Raise you up on the last day. So what does Elizabeth say about Mary, who believes that God could become incarnate in her if God wishes it to do? She wishes it to say, "Okay, I'll do it. Fine, I believe. Yes. Even though I don't understand how it happened." She receives that gift. And I think it's being shared with the world. And you and I, when we see Jesus in the blessed sacrament, and we say, "I believe that you're there, body, blood, soul, divinity, that you come to me, I'm going to have life within me. I'm going to have the promises that you give." It says, blessed are you who believe what the Lord has said to you to be accomplished. That would happen. What it means is that if you receive, you'll have God's life within you. That means there's nothing to fear about being alone, nothing to fear about being away, nothing to fear about anything that can come and bring harm to you in your life. To help it with that. That I will raise you up on the last day. This is the most joyful of all possible things. You can be joyful because God can raise you on the last day. It will be fulfilled. If you just believe that you receive him, and you receive that promise. That's what this mystery of the incarnation is all about. So this is very good news, encouraging things to be done. Ask our Lord for increase of that faith that's necessary for us to hold on to eternal life. Because in just a few more moments, the Eucharist will come, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And when we receive it, each of you, Lois, Joe, Beverly, Mary, even Maria, are going to receive the life of God infused in you. You're going to have more life than you know what to do. Believe it. And the promise that no matter what happens to the body of yours, no matter how long it's going to be until you finally here leads this body. God will raise up that very same body that you see behind. To be covered with you in heaven, to be with you in friends, or in the most perfect way possible in heaven. Even at the words of a silly father, a silly preacher. Words of God. Do you believe them? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.